Welcome back, nerds. Is it okay that I call you that? Have you completely embraced your nerdiness? If not, that's okay. Hopefully you're getting some inspiration from these podcasts, reusing our YouTube recordings in a different way. I know a lot of you have many responsibilities at the moment. We are using these podcasts as a way for you to plug in when you can. If you want to check out the full recordings, because there are some visuals, you can check that out on our YouTube channel. I'll be posting that down in the links for this episode. Again, I'm your host, your co-host, Brian McCornack, Kansas State University, and I am a professor and department head in entomology. And in this third episode of the virtual ESA, that's the Entomological Society of America, our Extension Entomology Share Fair back in November, this episode, we have Jason Thomas from the University of Idaho, and he presents on his YouTube channel, Insect Hunter. Isn't that a great name? And he talks to us about how to build a brand on YouTube and to expand the reach of Extension to a wider audience using that resource. I got a lot of inspiration from Jason's talk, so much so that now we have a Be the Nerd channel, and I'm now using channels quite a bit for my teaching. So not just Extension, but there are other ways to leverage the power of YouTube and creating playlists and how-to videos and linking those together, you know, getting people to subscribe, but also pointing them to the next video. I learned a lot from Jason in this episode, and I hope you do too. If you're interested in watching the full unedited presentation, you can check it out on the Be the Nerd YouTube channel. See what I did there. So without further ado, take it away, Jason.
So the first thing I want to do, guys, is just share with you a little bit about my experience, who I am, kind of how I got into Extension and how entomology came to me. So I'm going to talk to you about how I created my YouTube channel and kind of what the focus has been. This is actually part of my poster presentation that nobody will probably look at. So we'll just jump right into this. So the thing that I did that was different than many other Extension programs is I tried to focus on making a niche-focused entomology YouTube channel. So we'll get into that here in just a minute. But basically, the great challenge that we have in Extension is trying to bridge that gap, you know, between the farmers and between the scientists. And the way that we bridge that gap can be a variety of different ways. But the issue that I see is that Extension is not typically out there trying to go and do YouTube. It's not the main thing we are doing. So when I started with Extension in about 2014, I decided this is the venue we are going to use. This is what people are starting to use. And even now with the coronavirus pandemic, we're seeing that this is becoming more critical, because if we're not getting these messages out there on YouTube or social media or these places, somebody else will, and they'll be probably spreading misinformation. So that's why we need to be on YouTube and present in social media so that we are helping out with this cause, bridging that gap. So kind of the way that I see that Extension does this, and you guys can chime in if you feel like your Extension program does it different. I've worked at Texas A&M, Purdue University, and also here at the University of Idaho. And at all of these places, the way that they ran their YouTube channels was they were basically running it like a big box store or like a, you know, a place that offers everything. Hey, come to our YouTube channel. It's got cooking. It's got nematode identification. It's got irrigation practices. It's got how to deal with forestry properly and sustainably. But the question that I had as I've been seeing this is that what people are going to actually subscribe to? And are people going to get on and follow you and be loyal to you? Because in my opinion, I can't think of a single person who's interested in forestry, you know, nematodes, how to cook this specific recipe, and also irrigation management. I can't think of a single person that thinks, oh, those are the things that I really need to know right now. So there's just too much variety, and that's okay. It's not like that this is the wrong thing to do. But in my opinion, if you want to build a following and you want people to become loyal to you and to your brand, you have to have a niche focus. That has kind of been my thoughts on doing YouTube and Extension. Although there are some advantages to that. The nice thing about having a big box store approach is you can put anything onto that channel and you don't have to worry about whether it is all part of the same message or part of the same type of thing. So we'll talk about that and kind of how I did it. The way that I like to think about it, that I think is the best way to do it, is to do like a niche store, like an alternative. So you think about Chick-fil-A. Out of all the restaurants, I believe it was Consumer Reports did a report on it, and the highest rated and the biggest, like the highest rated that people absolutely love, is Chick-fil-A. And you think about that, and why is that? I've never gone to Chick-fil-A and had to wait more than, you know, 10 minutes. It looks like the line is like huge, but they are always able to process everything very quickly. And that's because they only serve a small amount of products to people. And so you can think of other ones that are just like this, you know, In-N-Out Burger for those Californians or those folks that are fans of that, you know, trying to offer a very small amount of product to people that's very specific and focused can build greater loyalty. You don't have as many people that will be interested in it, but you can get a bigger following because people are all interested in that same thing and they know what they're going to get when you go to Chick-fil-A. So that's kind of how I tried to focus, is focusing on just a few topics of content for this channel. So kind of the things that I decided to focus on was obviously insects. So the name of the channel we created was The Insect Hunter, with the tagline, Big Adventure Start Small. So it's very focused on insects and arthropods, insect collecting, general entomology. And, you know, we wanted to pick a name that people would remember or that people could build a loyalty to. Now, this is an advantage and a disadvantage, because if you have a YouTube channel called the University of Idaho College of Ag and Life Sciences, sure, people will know it's the University of Idaho, but to the general public, they don't know what that means. What is the University of Idaho College of Ag and Life Sciences YouTube channel going to be posting frequently? Oh, who knows? But The Insect Hunter, I've subscribed to it. I know what they're going to show me. They're going to show me stuff about insects or arthropods. So that's kind of the focus that I tried to take with this. I also tried to set everything as consistent as I could. There's only been one host, which has been me up to this point, although maybe I need to get another one to help me because it gets a little overwhelming. Trying to have everything be engaging, concise, posting on a consistent basis, which you guys that do the arthropod know about that. You've got to keep these things alive, trying to have it be research-based as much as possible, and then also just high-quality video and audio, trying to integrate those into this, keeping things consistent. So just a quick overview of how you create a video. Basically, you know, sometimes you're just going to start with a script. You have a script, you start researching, you start learning, you figure out what it is you're wanting to do. That's typically where you will start. Then you're going to go out and capture footage. You edit the video, you market it, and then you engage with your audience, you know, commenting and engaging with them. But sometimes I just wanted to remind people that when I'm making videos, sometimes it's just that a situation presents itself to me. My most popular video on my channel that has 5 million views was just because I found a specific insect in the field and I thought, well, what the heck? Let's just film this thing. Let's have some fun with this. I didn't think it would even have anything come of it. But, you know, just being ready to film those situations as they come to you. Sometimes you're planning stuff out. Other times stuff will come to you, which is great. So this is one thing I just wanted to share with you guys. We're working on getting this published. But in August 12th of 2019, I went and I analyzed the YouTube channels of every state that I could find, everybody that had public data available about subscribers and what they had. So I basically ordered these by the amount of subscribers per video. That way then it was fair, because my channel only has 85 videos on it. Whereas some of these other channels, you know, they've got, you know, some of them have up to nearly 1,000. The Utah State Extension, they have nearly 1,000 videos. But what I wanted to see is, for the number of videos, was the amount of following that I was receiving significant? So you look at that, for each of my videos that I produced, I was able to gain 90.6 subscribers. So, you know, using this model, I was able to get a lot of followers based on the number of videos that I have. I mean, the amount of subscribers that I had at that point, I mean, right now my subscribers is a lot higher than that, but the amount that I had for the number of videos I had, you know, you look at some of these other channels, the other universities I've worked for, Texas A&M, Purdue, and the University of Idaho, if I combine all those together of what subscribers they have, it's less than 7,000. And, you know, I've only produced 85 videos. So you can build a bigger following in this way, in my opinion, but there are some challenges associated with this. And we can come back to this data because you guys might have some questions about it. That's fine. I also did some surveys with my viewers. I asked them what had changed since they started viewing the channel. We got about 100 responses. We had 86% of them indicated that they had an increased interest in learning about insects. 80% indicated that they had an increased level of respect for insects. 78% had an increased belief that most insects are beneficial to humans. And then 73% an increased desire to teach others about insects. So those are kind of our impacts of us making a difference and teaching people about entomology. And then this is kind of some of the statistics of my channel right now at this point. 327,800 hours consumed, which is crazy. You think about that. There's somebody's lifetime there has been consumed of content on my channel. It's just insane. So what are the challenges of doing this? You know, there's a lot of challenges with trying to make a niche focused entomology channel like this. You know, I did all of this by myself. I'm the one man team. I edit, I script, I film everything. I do everything. And I wish I could have had more partners along the way, but I've moved around from, you know, Texas A&M to Purdue to here at the University of Idaho. So I've been all over the place. But one of the challenges you'll have and experience with this is trying to help people understand where these videos are coming from. So what I do in my videos is at the end of each video, it says sponsored by the University of Idaho Extension or sponsored by Texas A&M University Extension. So you have to kind of plug that back in so people understand that it's part of your work and that it's part of Extension, but it's its own kind of niche group that you've created. So that kind of creates some challenges with the branding. And then just keeping this thing alive, like there have been multiple times that, you know, this is like an animal that I have thought about just killing this thing because it's like, I can't keep feeding this thing. Keeping this thing alive is just such a challenge because you get this momentum and you have to keep creating content. And so it's like, is it really worth, you know, all this time and this investment because of how much I have to put into this? But, you know, it has paid off and it's taken me years to get to the point where I am right now. So I obviously don't want to do that yet, but if I wanted it to be bigger, I could, but I would need to be posting more content. And I also have other extension appointments. Probably only about 20 to 30% of my job is entomology and extension. I have other things that I do too. Here's just a couple quick tips about making videos. Gathering footage all the time. So I have a huge extension appointment. I'm going out on house calls all the time. I go out on tours. Whenever I go somewhere, I am filming because I never know when I'm going to need that footage. So I'm always filming all the time and then trying to organize that and cataloging it. So I have four different hard drives. So I think I have like 50 terabytes worth of hard drives that I can store stuff on. And then I'll break it down into, you know, I have a folder for arachnids and then I'll have subfolders for all of these, breaking things down into a way that you can manage them and figure all that out. Another thing is just distilling things down. You know, I love what Mark Twain says. I didn't have time to write a short letter, so I wrote a long one instead. So it's easy to make a long video, but it's hard to take, you know, a bulletin or like a complex paper and then condense that down into a 2-minute video. That's really a challenge, you know, so it's easy to complicate things. So you have to really try to simplify stuff down. Another tip I'd share if you're going to do YouTube work is you want to have really good thumbnails. So these are some of my more popular videos, you know, just trying to have fun with it. You know, you only want to have a few words on there, not too much, but you do want to have a little bit of text, nice, good images. You can get a lot of Creative Commons images or take your own as you're filming and stuff. So having really good thumbnails, that's what's going to attract people to your video, not the title of your video. The content will to some degree, but you know, you need to have something engaging to get folks to want to come to the video and watch it. Those images are what catch their eye. You know, another thing is just having some scheduling, you know, just scheduling things out, trying to have a consistent schedule, you know, every couple weeks posting, that's important to be doing. And then another thing you want to do is you want to serve the algorithm. So the YouTube algorithm is basically the thing that determines everything for you on YouTube. The only reason I have 5 million views on one of my videos is because the algorithm chose it. So for some reason, a lot of people clicked on that and watched it. So I have on that video probably 20,000 comments of people saying, how did I end up here? Why did YouTube suggest this to me? But I still like it or something, you know, like things like that. They're saying, so YouTube is your greatest ally. So you have to serve the algorithm and do what YouTube wants. You've got to use their new features and try to be posting consistently because YouTube will select you and they'll be the ones to market you and advertise for you to get your stuff out there. And then the key thing I would say with doing a YouTube channel is just take your time. It's not a race, it's a marathon. So if I had looked at my number of subscribers 4 years after I started at 2018, so I started in 2014 creating the videos and stuff. So if we look in after 4 years, my subscribers had only gone up by maybe a few thousand. It was little to no growth. But then you see how it's just exploded after that over time. So you have to push through, and it can just explode once you get a really good video. So you want to put as many, if you're out fishing and if you can legally do this, put as many lines in the water. So that's kind of what I've done with my videos, is just trying to put as much content out there as I can. And then eventually you'll get a nice good hit, and then that will help your channel take off. But anyways, yeah, you can see the subscribers just, it was very slow at first. Those first few years were just very slow. And I'm going to show you guys, at some point I can show you guys under the hood of my YouTube channel and show you the analytics and kind of what you can do with that. But I'm going to take a second and show you guys the wireless endoscope. So it's not actually like a scope, like a microscope per se, but it's more of an endoscope, which you would use to stick inside of an engine or stick inside of a wall. So I'll actually pull that up here. So the way that you connect to this thing, so let me show you guys this. Let's actually put it up on the camera. This is basically just a tiny little wire with a very small camera here on the end. Very small, you can get that into very small places. And then you've got this little box here that will transmit the Wi-Fi. And you guys are all probably really rich and you're on all these big grants, but I don't have a ton of money. So this is something that I really like, because this thing, it transmits wirelessly. And the total cost is $30. So like, this is perfect, because if I'm gonna have kids using something, and it's transmitting over the Wi-Fi to my tablet. I just saw Brian was saying something.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Wait, you said $30? $30. Yes.
Yes, $30. And this is I believe this is like a 2.5 megapixel. So it's not a great camera, I use this for a lot of stuff. I've had these and they've lasted me a couple of years. So surprisingly, the technology sometimes glitches out and you have to open and close the app, but I'll show you kind of how you connect with the app and kind of what I use it for. So.
And sorry, maybe you said this, where do you get that?
It's on Amazon. It's in the resource packet, Brian. Have you not checked that out?
Well, yes, of course. I just haven't bought, bought everything yet.
And you can find that in the description of the video. We just posted it.
So awesome.
Aaron
awesome,
just awesome. Shared it.
Awesome. Thank you.
She's over there helping us out. So I'm trying to get it to broadcast for me. So just a second. I've got to disconnect to my current Wi-Fi. What questions do you guys have while I'm getting this set up? I'm happy to take some questions. The reason why I got into this and why this was a tool that I use for data collection is totally unrelated to entomology. I also study vertebrate pests, so voles, which are like field mice. And we have we use a biological control program with barn owls, using them to help reduce the damage of voles. So we get out into a lot of these situations where we have nesting sites and they're in precarious places, so we can't get to them very easily. So having this, we can get it into the box. I actually attach it to a pole so I can get 20 feet off the ground and stick it in the box without disturbing the birds. And I had to have something, that would allow us to have Wi-Fi, because, it creates its own signal. So you connect to the Wi-Fi through here. Obviously, it's not internet. And, because we're out in the middle of nowhere and there's no Wi-Fi, there's no cell service, there's nothing. So we have to have something we can connect to. So I'm here in my Wi-Fi, and I've connected to the device, this Jetion FD1E545C. And then you just type in the password, which is like 123456789 or something. It's just pre-built. You can change the password. So that's ready to go. And then you go into this, the DepthTech app. So just click on that. It looks like it's working pretty good. I won't gross you guys out too much. Yesterday, I was just sticking it in my mouth for fun. I'll stick it in here with my tarantula. So we'll see if we can see anything. The quality is not the best, but it... For $30, this is something you can take with kids, and you could stick it down in like a wasp's nest or a bee's nest or something, just to kind of show off some stuff. I don't even know if you guys are gonna be able to see my tarantula all that well. Anyways, that's Pandora. I think she can see us. So anyways, I just like it for the fact that it's really affordable, really cheap. We actually have nesting boxes. So I could see you could put this at like a, this might be as good a quality as some people's webcams. I like that you could stick this on like a nest box, or you could put it on like a bee's nest or something. You could have it permanently installed and then just give it power, and you could flip it on and you could look inside. So I don't like having to pay ongoing costs of, you know, paying like a cell phone network to have like a live stream webcam on something. But this is, you know, you could put this at a certain location and then just flip the switch. So we have these, some of these permanently installed on boxes because it's so cheap and so affordable. So it's a way that farmers can look inside of their barn owl nesting boxes. Or, you know, if you had a beehive or something, you could stick, drill a hole and stick this in and have this ready to go so that you could look inside without disturbing. So that's the nice thing. But yeah, they're nice, Lauren. You can stick it in your walls if you hear some bees humming in there and other stuff. They're very nice. And you probably have, is yours this cheap, Jody, or is yours more expensive?
I actually don't remember, but I'm not rich. So much money, I can tell you that.
You got so much money, you don't know what to do with it. You're just like, no. Hey, 500 on an endoscope, let's do it.
No, it's definitely not as cool and as long as that one, but I think I bought it for that purpose to train termite inspectors. So
yeah, let me switch back to my actual camera here so we can have a little better quality. So you can take pictures with it, you can record with it. This one is the lower quality one. You can get one that has an 8-megapixel camera, which I think is a lot better and it doesn't glitch as much. And that one's about $80. But if you want to try it, get the $30 one and you can do some fun stuff with it. I still haven't done it, but I want to try and do some. We get a lot of parasitoid wasps that are hauling off grasshoppers and burying them in the ground. And so I could probably get this in one of those holes. I need to do that sometimes.
What file types does it save? I mean, what kinds of files?
It actually saves to your camera or whatever device you're connected to. So I'll just do a quick little thing here. Okay, so I've got it going right now. So I'm just gonna hit, I can take a picture. So I just took a picture. You gotta give it access to your camera. So it's gonna save it into your, onto your phone. So it just saved it. And then I'll just do a quick little recording here. There's no audio, obviously. So I think it all depends on your settings, on your actual device. So it might be better to do it on an Android because it's a little more conducive to transferring files, but and I don't know what file type it is, but it's recorded there, and then I've got that image there. So I'll take pictures of different animals and things like that. And thanks to Brian for the green screen recommendation. That's what I've got right back here. I've got the Elgato. So
it's a nice unit. I like it a lot.
It took me a little bit to figure out how to put the legs out on the bottom because it kept tipping over. And I was like, this is just tipping over.
Aaron, can you relate to that at all? Aaron, yeah.
That happened to you too?
All day yesterday until I found out it had legs that you could turn.
Yes, that's what happened with me.
Her dogs would appreciate it knowing that sooner, but that's okay. Yeah,
you can stop the spotlight. I'm happy to take some questions. I can maybe share my screen. I'll get logged into YouTube if you guys want to look at anything on there. But
are you using OBS for your broadcasting, or what do you do?
Nope, I am using, the only way I'm able to do this is basically by Blackmagic, literally. This is the Blackmagic ATEM Mini. It's a $350 switchboard, and it is worth the money. This is like, if you want to do anything with broadcast, starting level, this is worth it. So just to get an actual professional video camera to convert to, to convert to a webcam costs you about $200. Well, this does that. Plus it can contain four different cameras. So let me just show you my setup because this is kind of crazy. I'm glad I got it all set up yesterday.
And let me guess, that's in your resource packet?
No, I didn't put that in the resource packet.
I see. You'd like to show all your tricks? I get it. That's fine.
It was, no. I can share all the information you want. I just didn't think people would want to know that much about broadcast.
I do. I mean, my thing on Friday is going to talk about OBS, which is, again, that's free. But if you can have like this. I'm curious about it. Sorry, go ahead.
So I've got my camera hooked up to it, and then I can switch between cameras. I've got my Yeti Blue microphone, which are just awesome. I've got this wonderful light recommended by Brian. I just had a ton of extra money, and I was like, well, let's get a couple of these things Brian says, because I do a lot of virtual things. And yeah, it's just all running through here. So I love the Black Magic, just so you can switch cameras and stuff. So I just switch it back and there you go. It comes back to the actual camera, but you can have it. It'll do like transitions and stuff too. So let me switch my cameras. Awesome. We'll have this one going. Let's do that. So see, you can have it like do like a, you know, like a wipe or things like that. You can upload graphics into it. It's very nice. I like OBS, but the issue is to use OBS in Zoom, you have to have a webinar license to take your stream key, don't you?
Nope. That's what I used for my thing yesterday, and I don't have a webinar license.
Okay. Maybe you'll have to show me that sometime, because I couldn't find a place where you could actually input the stream key from OBS.
Friday. I'll show that Friday.
Okay, yeah. Great.
No, this is, yeah, but this is, what I like about it is it's a one-stop shop, and I find OBS, like, until you figure out, like, your hotkeys to move between all those different things, like, if you can just have a magical box that you plug those things into, that's awesome, so thanks for sharing that. That was Black Magic? What'd you call
it? It's the Black Magic ATEM Mini. It just barely came out last year. I got mine November of last year, and it was on back order. And it has been back on back order a lot. So yeah, it can be a challenge to get, but I think it's probably around $350, but I think it retails at $300, but the people are putting the prices up just a little bit because a lot more virtual stuff's happening.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. That's great.
Yeah. You're welcome. And you know, I have all these high quality 4K cameras. I need to use them in my broadcast if I can. So yeah. Other questions?
Yeah, I would love to get some more details on this, because we had, you know, given the weirdness of this year, we have some extension money to use up, and these are the kind of outputs that are really helpful, and the growers really love it.
Do you already have a Yeti microphone, Lauren?
No, I'm cheap, man.
Well, you can hear my Yeti microphone right now. That's what's connected.
Yeah.
It's the built-in one. Let me switch to the Yeti right now. So can you hear the difference right now between what I was doing before? So now let me switch back, see if you can hear any difference. We'll go back to the microphone. It should be on the built-in microphone now. So I don't know if you could hear a difference in my voice, but
I feel like the Yeti sounded a little bit warmer.
I think it picked up a better tone to your voice.
Jason, we had a question from Angela. She wanted to know a little bit more about that endoscope. Is it really flexible or is it fairly stiff? Can you move it without the wire flopping around, or do you need a lot of support clasps?
It has some stiffness to it, but it's also flexible. It depends on what you're trying to do. I mean, I can give you a recommendation if you can share with me the situation, if it's not too crazy of a situation to explain, but it
zip ties or something to hold it in place if you need to.
You could. I'll show you what I do with when I'm doing like actual, and you know, I know this doesn't apply to entomology all the time. Let me show you. So when I'm doing a barn owl box check, I have this. I have a painter's pole that goes out to about 15, 16 feet, and then I've got an extra light on it because I'm getting into really dark places, and then I've got it just attached there with like zip ties and stuff. So, I mean, you can, you know, it's flexible. So you could attach it to a stick or something if you want it to be more rigid. It will bend some as you're pushing it into a really tight crevice, but it's going to keep trying to go with whatever direction you're pushing to some degree. So this is kind of what I use. And the battery life on it is probably, I'd say it will last about an hour transmitting the Wi-Fi. So I usually just always have mine plugged into a little device. All of it is waterproof except for the actual box. So this little box here is not waterproof. Other than that, everything else is waterproof. So you can stick it in water. You could go look for aquatic insects and stuff. That would be a good use for it. Yeah, there's all sorts of things you can do with it. And that's the thing, is it's cheap. So I would trust, you know, letting kids use this. It's like, hey, take this and here's your phone. It's on your phone. No, go and stick it in the water and go find something, take a picture or whatever. There's a lot of cool stuff you can do with it. It doesn't have as good of magnification, obviously, as the dyno lights and stuff like that, but just for a general use, small camera, very affordable.
And also what I like about it is that you can really, I mean, again, it's another perspective.
So if you're, you know, you have all this high quality stuff and then you go cut to, you know, hey, I'm using this thing. And I just feel like you're more like on an adventure. That's what I like about it. For $35, it just adds, even if it is grainy and not as good as your 4K cameras, you just, it just feels more like you're there exploring that kind of weird, I don't know. The video feed is, I think that's great. I mean, all those little things. If I want to spend a whole lot to do get that perspective, I think that's cool.
Yeah, start with a basic one. And then if you look at the 8-megapixel one, it's really good. And I really like that one a lot for just actually taking decent quality pictures and video. But that one's about $100.
That's the same brand?
Yeah. Yeah. It's all DepsTech. That's the brand I've used. And there's other brands that make these too, but
that's
just the brand I'm used to using. There's probably other ones that have a better app because this app sometimes will crash or you have to close it and reopen it, but it will work. You just sometimes have to go in and out. Any other questions? Let's see. I'm trying to look here. I think you've been keeping up on all the questions, right, Aaron?
Yeah, I've been trying to. I've just been doing some Amazon searches for some of the tech that you use. I hope that I'm filling in the blanks okay.
Sure. It looks all right. Did you find the Black Magic on Amazon? Oh, yeah, you found it. So, yeah, $295. Yeah,
$295.
There you go, Brian. Sold.
It's in my cart already. What are you talking about? Oh, I'm so far ahead of you, Jason. I'm ready to hit submit. Just wait for you to say something else so that I can add to my list here. No, I think that's great. That's great. I do like OBS just because you can keep it pretty simple. You don't have to have all these cameras. But for me, I've got a little teaching studio and I tell you, it's been like to have three different angles to be able to kind of get all that and then edit it together versus just sitting there and hitting buttons to do all that.
Like, yeah.
It's a time saver, but it really becomes a hurdle. That's the thing with a lot of this is like that hurdle of I don't want to go do that because I know it's going to take me 5 hours to edit in when it could really just take me an hour. And 8 or 9 hours versus 1 is a big difference when you've got all these other things to manage. Like you said earlier with like, I'm impressed with your YouTube channel, like how much work it really takes to do that well. Like for those that are starting out, like what's some really low hanging fruit that you'd say you absolutely have to do at least this one thing if you're getting started? So they feel
you need
like,
to, in the resource packet, there's a script template and it's also just like a sample script, I believe. Let's see if I can pull it up here. So this is a script for one of my videos. So you can watch the video and then you can actually look at the script and see how it was made and what happened. But, you know, you've got to learn how to make good scripts because that's where everything starts. And I honestly don't use scripts every single time. Sometimes I will just I'll just do a bullet point list, but you need to have an idea of what you're going to film and then try to bring it to fruition. But anyways, it just shows you the graphics and the video and then, you know, what I'm saying, stuff like that. And it's not word for word, but it just gives you an idea. So just learning how to do good, simple, concise scripts. And then, you know, that's the start of everything. And then just go make your video, even if it's not the best quality, just go make something. Cause you know, I have a lot, you know, like Brian and me, we have lots of really great technology and stuff, but you know, it didn't start out that way, at least for me. You know, as you show that you have expertise, you have proof that you can use the higher technology and make your stuff better. So the technology will come to you if you put in the work and you, you know, you do all of that. So you need to just start making videos. Once you have the skills and the expertise, there's people who will, you know, give you equipment or help you with equipment. It's not too hard. That's, you know, for me to get all my equipment, I don't do a ton of grants, but everybody knows that I do technology. So that's the way that I say no to people is I say, you know, they come to me with this idea with technology stuff and I'll say, well, yes, I'll help you with that if you will buy me this equipment. Or, you know, I like to, that's how you say no is yes, I'll help you if you buy me this equipment because I need to, because some of the things I get asked to do don't really fit into my position description, but if they're willing to contribute so I can make my position description stuff better and have more technology to accomplish what I need to, then I'll say yes, because they're helping me indirectly, you know, they're helping with my other stuff. So especially right now, like everybody has all this travel money and they need help with virtual stuff. So I've been getting to buy lots of stuff. So this is a perfect time to be a techie.
Jason, I'm wondering, if you promote your, as like a new video comes out, or do you rely on subscribers and YouTube to push out new stuff?
I rely on subscribers and YouTube for everything. And you guys are all way more active than I am on Twitter. I like rarely will ever use Twitter because I have this huge beast, this YouTube channel I'm trying to keep alive. And so just trying to keep that going to run multiple social media things is a challenge for me. So I don't use Twitter or Facebook. I mean, I have them, but I don't ever really use them like legitimately. Like maybe I'll post once a year, but I know I could get more traction if I did, but I also have other things going on. So I just focus on YouTube and YouTube does all the work for me. So I also hand out cards to kids at schools. And if you want to get credit with kids in schools, they don't care if you have a master's or a PhD, but if you tell them you have a YouTube channel, all of a sudden they will actually listen to you. So even if your YouTube channel doesn't have that many views, if you have one, they're going to listen to you more and they'll be like, oh, you're on YouTube, cool. So that's works good with the kids.
Street cred, is that what you're saying, basically? Gives you more
sure.
Street cred? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Multiple times Jonathan Larson asked if they ask if I'm friends with Cody Peterson. And yeah, they ask that sometimes. Or they always ask me if I've seen it. And I'm always like, well, yeah, it's a little over-dramatized. I've held the tarantula hawk. That's one of my videos I did. I was holding a tarantula hawk. And it was, you know, just like any other wasp. They're not really that aggressive. So trying to dispel some of those myths can be a challenge. My nephew would say Jason is YouTube famous. Yeah, right. None of it's because of me. I just put a video up and for some reason people really liked it. I have no clue why. It's just my most popular video is, I guess, because it's violent. So I guess violence sells, of having my mantispid fighting a wasp. And, you know, it's a mimic of it at the same time. That was for some reason so popular. I think I showed you guys most of my tech. What do you use for tripods, Brian? I'd like to see your tripod setup.
Most of my mobile stuff, I just use this Manfrotto with a phone clip. It's all part of the same company. It's super lightweight, compact. And then the other one that I didn't show yesterday that I almost take with me constantly is this. It's another Evo, I think. Yeah, it's another Evo, but it's got a WooHodo holder on it. This thing is indestructible. I've had these kind of those bendy type, you know, wraparound gorilla. I find that they break within. Yeah. Lauren's like, yeah, they break within. This is like, I think I could drive over it and it would be just fine. But nice. I use this for like low to the ground. So if I've got my macro lens on my phone and I put this on there, it's like a mini tripod for holding that, and keeps it really steady. I use the USB, you know, for real small stuff, but I don't always have that with me, but I have my macro with me all the time. Of course I say that and it's not sitting here, but not all macros are created equal either.
Yeah. I'm going to show you guys something with a tripod. I use an e-image. This can make a big difference when you're making videos here. I'll just let you look at the, you can look at Ryan for a second there. Super exciting. So this is an e-image tripod, and I actually think with tripod, oh, I need to switch it, I guess. I had it on you. Let's reconnect our screen sharing here. I'm also using an Apple iPad with the Apple Pencil, which you guys probably already use, but I love doing presentations and drawing because I get so bored, you know, with standard PowerPoints. I hate just reading text. Anyways, I use an e-image. This is about $250, this one. And I honestly think, so if you want the best quality, it seems like a heavier tripod is better, because, you know, I've had a Manfrotto, I had a small Manfrotto, and it was great for, you know, packing around, but it just got shaky and it didn't seem as durable. Whereas this thing is like built to really last. But let me show you guys kind of one of the things you can do. If you're going to do any sort of panning shot, so I'm actually going to jump behind the camera. If I want to do like a rotation, I can do that very smoothly without it being too jumpy. So just a nice smooth, you have a lot of control of everything going on. Same thing with like your tilting, you can do that. So I'll show you with like a tilt. So let's say I want to do a tilt. This is a little shaky right now, but I'm going to try and do a slow tilt up. But you can get really steady movement. So that's one of the things I really like about this. So it's pretty nice. So, you know, being able to tilt and pan is really important for your video. It can help you a lot.
Yeah, my tripods and stuff are not that fancy. They're not that fancy.
And you might not use them that much, but you know, if you want something that can give you some nice panning and tilting and stuff like that, they're pretty nice. They're only about $300, so.
Like Aaron got a little sticker shock when you said that. Yeah, I agree. We do have good ones, but they're mostly for our UAS program when we're doing some like stationary of our hyperspec and all that. But I just find that if I can't take it with me, then there's a good chance I just won't do it. And for me, I try to do it more about, again, that's all, it makes me sound really, really lazy. And that's probably very true, but a lot of it's just habit. Like I got to have something that's just portable, sticking in my truck somewhere. And I know if like the situation came about and I didn't have those things, I'd be like kicking myself. So
yeah,
you know, $30 here, $50 here, like just kind of in random places. Looks like I'm hoarding a lot of cheap tripods, but it's just simply because I want to make sure that I'm kind of set to like go at any time. I can just see it and remember to do it, but that's just me. That's been my strategy.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Jason? Highly recommend you check out the resource packet. And then again, if you are thinking about putting a video together, like now you even have more stuff to kind of think about. But this whole like, it's nice to see your green screen, but then I don't know, there's just something like, hey, cool. We got to see a snapshot of Jason's office because he panned around. It's just like the realness of like where we're at and what we're doing and how we're experiencing our ESA this year is, I think that's going to be the thing. Cause I'm missing going out and meeting with people and seeing the new venue and the new town. And I think that's just a different experience this year. So awesome work. Anything else? Yeah. Feel free to reach out.
Thank you,
Jason,
so much. He is YouTube famous. I like that.
He is YouTube famous. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, did you get started? Have you at least sketched some ideas? I hope so. This has been episode 3 and really great job by Jason showing us how easy and important it is to develop that brand. Insect Hunter, whatever your name here, think about how you're going to connect that to your audience. Again, this has been episode 3 from the Be the Nerd podcast with live presentations from the virtual ESA Share Fair back in November. If you'd like to watch the full unedited presentation, you can find it in our Be the Nerd YouTube channel. You can also find links to Jason's video script sample and the Depth Stetch wireless endoscope in the YouTube video description. Again, this is Brian McCornack, and go be the nerd.